Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most American podcast network.
Everybody thought he'd go real far, but he didn't get a thing from the classes he took. You know, he just wasn't interested in his books.
Hey, what's Pac-Man, everybody? Welcome to the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, where today we are talking about Galaxy High. This is a show from 1986, and I'm joined on this episode by my friend Addison Antonoff, who uses she/her pronouns. Thanks for listening to Cynical Cartoons for another week, and as always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant. My pronouns are she/her, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Traveling millions of miles through space to go to school in a far-out place. Sweetheart, Doyle's got a lot to learn here at Galaxy High.
Galaxy High. Galaxy High. Galaxy High.
Galaxy High.
Galaxy High.
Galaxy High.
Galaxy High. Ooh boy, this show.
It's really hard to chant in unison with Skype lag. I've just realized.
Yeah.
Well, hey Addison, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
It's a little bit up in the air. We'll talk about that in a second. I met you through a charity stream by a friend of the show, Brett MW. They were streaming Resident Evil for an entire weekend.
Raised a lot of money for Amnesty International. If you're listening, Brett and Zach, love and appreciate you.
Yeah, Brett and Zach, they listen to every episode, actually. That's what they do every Saturday night. They sit down for a nice little candlelit dinner and they listen to the podcast.
I almost believed you, except you didn't mention tea, and therefore I knew it was a lie.
Oh, crap. The tea and crumpets, I left it all out. Damn.
Yeah.
I'm having a weird day. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording, but basically I went to engineer a podcast this morning up in the Hollywood Hills. I was engineering the show, producing it, and when I was trying to get home, I tried to hail an Uber, and my phone was like, I realized that I didn't have like $12 or whatever it was to get home in an Uber. I was like, oh Jesus, I'm broke. Okay, I forgot about that. So I asked the host of the show if he could hail me an Uber home, and he did. And so I got in this Uber, and it was a 20-minute ride, you know, and the guy was like really nice and very talkative. And usually I'll get on my headphones when I'm in an Uber, but whatever, he was being nice. And slowly the conversation starts to drift in like this really creepy direction, but just like so gradually that I hadn't realized that that was happening.
Because, you know, a locked and moving car is the best time to have these types of discussions.
I know. And so like we're riding along and he's like asking me how long I've been in L.A. And he's like this 55-year-old dude. And he's like, oh, are you an actor? I said no, and he was like, oh, okay, because, like, your face, like, baby, boy or girl, it doesn't matter, you could play both sides. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. He was like, yeah, you're very beautiful. I was like, okay. And he was like, are you transgender? I was like, yeah.
You know, when a stranger asks that, that's...
And it seemed just genuine interest. He was telling me, like, yeah, where he grew up, he's gay, and he couldn't be gay there, and so he loves to be in America where he's free to do that. And it was like a nice conversation for a while, but then it starts going in this really weird direction where he like was asking me like, oh, do you like guys or girls? And I was like, well, both, I'm bisexual. Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have trouble with the penis? I don't know what that was supposed to mean. And then he told me a story that I think was about him getting a hand job from a transgender masseuse. And then we got pretty close to my house and he was like, is this where you live? Is this, I'm dropping you off at your house? And I was like, mm-hmm. And then I like walked around the blocks that he couldn't follow me.
Nope. I live elsewhere.
I live in Washington.
I live not in a different astral plane. I'm just visiting.
Yeah.
I've never had anything that uncomfortable happen to me, luckily. There's this weird pattern that almost every time I get into an Uber, Jack the Ripper is brought up.
Okay.
So I think the first time I ever took an Uber was in London. I was, you know, going to the airport or something. They're like, oh, you're an American. And I was like, yep. And they're like, so what are you doing in London? I was like, oh, I'm here. I'm taking a semester abroad. And they're like, oh, what do you study? And I was like, oh, I study history. And they're like, oh, so stuff like Jack the Ripper. And I was just like,
okay.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah, the Victorian era is really interesting to me.
You know, Jack the Ripper, John Wayne Gacy, who else? Charlie Manson.
I would have such a strong foot to stand on if I hadn't taken a class on true crime last semester, but I never bring that up, and I don't wear my schedule on my shirt, so I don't know. And I was like, okay, well, I'm an American in London. They're like, oh, this person might not know a lot about, like, English history, so I'm just going to bring up this thing that everyone will know about.
Right.
But then the next time this happened, I was in Massachusetts where I go to university, and I was taking the Uber from the airport to campus or something. I don't know. I was trying to get back to my dorm. And they're like, oh, what are you studying? And I was like, history. And they're like, oh, what era? And I was like, the Victorian era, because I was reading something about imperialism.
Oh, that's your problem, is that you're studying Victorian era history and nobody knows anything about that era except for Jack the Ripper. So
that's
really
what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But, and he's like, oh, all I know about the Victorian era is Jack the Ripper. And I was like, okay, well, I'm never bringing up Victorians in an Uber ever again, no matter the circumstances.
Uh-huh.
And the next time I get an Uber.
Are these guys, these guys have like big twirly mustaches and monocles and top hats and like a big knife? Your Uber drivers?
I mean, I don't know if they have a knife. I don't think any of them had mustaches that I remember. They could have had knives. I don't know. I mean, the car didn't get crashed or anything, and I'm still here.
Sure.
But I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So the next time I'm in Uber, they're like, oh, what are you studying? I'm like, history. They're like, oh, what era? And I'm like, the Cold War. You know, that's like 100 years after. And they're like, I don't really know anything about the Cold War. I'm more into like Victorian stuff, you know, like Jack the Ripper.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to die. And it, like another time, they're like, what are you, because I get picked up and dropped off at my campus a lot. Mm-hmm. And like someone's like, oh, what are you studying? I'm like, creative writing, neuroscience, literally anything else. I'm not studying neuroscience. I am studying creative writing.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I just read a really interesting book about Jack the Ripper. And
oh, Jesus
that's why
Christ.
I take Lyft now, because Uber has a weird thing with Jack the Ripper. So I take Lyft now. It's kind of hard to get off of campus otherwise.
Yeah.
Unless I take it to like the train station or something. So it's always a time.
Yeah, taking Uber is interesting because I always just headphones in, you know, because I'm mm-hmm. I'm transgender, I'm transitioning, I'm early in my transition to the point that like people don't really see me as a woman, but chasers and dudes that are 25 years older than me definitely see me as like, I don't fucking know. Somebody that they want to fuck. That's the answer, really. So it comes up a lot. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about Galaxy High School from 1986.
Woo!
Addison, what kind of cartoons did you watch growing up? Like, what kind of, like, really weird stuff that's sort of off the beaten path?
I don't know if I have anything off the beaten path. My strongest memory is watching SpongeBob with my grandpa, who then taught me sea shanties, which the music from the show was based off of, that I went and taught my kindergarten classmates. And so I got in a bit of trouble for teaching sea shanties to other children.
Were they like dirty songs? I don't know, sea shanties really.
The only one I can think of is What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor, which isn't like dirty.
Right.
But it's not for kindergartners.
Sure.
And there were others. I'm sure some of them were absolutely awful, but I can't remember. I think the most off the beaten path thing, this is so pretentious, but it's who I am, which is another weird thing to say, is that I remember watching a DVD. It was a movie version of Beethoven's The Magic Flute. And I remember like weird scenes from it. Like I remember this giant staircase. I just remember bits and pieces of it. I don't remember the story. I don't remember the music. I just remember like weird flashes of it. And it will sometimes come into my head when I'm in the middle of like a fever dream or something. I'm not entirely sure if it's real because I've tried to find like the version that I see in my head and I haven't. But other than that, I have this memory of like a claymation sheep.
Is it Sean the sheep?
Maybe. It's a grandpa sheep who's wearing like a blazer, and I haven't been able to find like the specific character from Sean the sheep. It probably was, and my brain's just like mixing it up, but it's like this weird cryptid sheep that doesn't actually exist outside of my mind.
Someday on the podcast, I'll do my sort of cartoon that I grew up watching and thought everybody else had, but nobody has ever known what I was talking about. And I did eventually find it. It's called Toad Patrol.
Oh my gosh.
And it's about all these little frogs, and the frogs need to cross across the forest and go through a magic mirror. And if they don't, they become toadstools, like little mushrooms.
Oh, no.
So they spend the entire first season like going across this forest to get to the magic mirror. They go through it. They don't turn into toadstools. Maybe one or two of them does. And then in season two, they're like, we need to go back to the other side of the forest to get that frog that we left behind. And then they're like risking being turned into toadstools again. I'm like, why are you... I'm six and this doesn't make any sense to me, but okay, let's just do it.
Yikes. Was it Toad Patrol or Frog Patrol?
Toad Patrol.
Toad Patrol and Paw Patrol? Crossover episode. That's what I want, and that's what's going to fix the world's problems, is that crossover episode.
Yeah, so Toad Patrol, upcoming episode, who knows when. I've been talking about doing it for years, but I would talk to people about it and be like, hey, did you ever watch that weird cartoon about the frogs that were going to get turned into toadstools? And everybody would always be like, what the fuck are you on about? Like, what are you talking about right now? Nobody has ever seen this cartoon except, and I guess it was like Canadian or something. Toad Patrol, check it out. I think it's on YouTube maybe, I don't know. So Galaxy High, I think it's called Galaxy High School in general, but who would ever say all three words? It's Galaxy High. This is all on YouTube. There's 13 episodes. I think we each watched three, but not the same three.
I watched the first three.
Okay, I watched 1, 3, and 7 because 7 sounded like it was right up my alley. So the concept of Galaxy High, this show is produced and maybe created by Chris Columbus.
Which anyone named Chris Columbus, I'm automatically suspicious of.
No, but he's a good man. He made Gremlins. He made Harry Potter 1 and 2. He made The Goonies. He wrote Gremlins and The Goonies. And I think maybe he wrote Home Alone, but I know that's a John Hughes movie, so maybe not.
I have seen Gremlins and the first two Harry Potter movies. I have not seen Goonies because I'm a horrible, horrible, horribly culturally illiterate person.
Goonies you can take or leave, I think. Like, I watched it for the first time at 19, and I was kind of like, okay, I can see why somebody 20-something years ago who was 9 years old would have loved this. But it's really not for me. But it makes sense watching this show that Chris Columbus would go on to do Harry Potter. Because, like, basically the concept here is Amy and Doyle are two high school kids from Earth, basically get roped into a foreign exchange student, maybe, situation to Galaxy High.
Yeah, so they go to finish their high school years in space.
Yeah.
I don't think they name a specific planet or solar system or anything, but... they both go, and it's clear to me why Amy goes, because she's the nerdy girl.
Right, exactly.
I don't know why Doyle goes, because he's like the really sporty popular one, but like in the theme song of the show, which I have pulled up, he's failing his classes, but both of them are sent to Galaxy High. And like Amy gets like a bunch of scholarships and a car,
right.
And he goes, and they're like, we'll give you a job.
Yeah, a job and a little hover scooter.
Yeah, which is more than a lot of schools will give. As someone going to universities, not high school, but like, it's not unrealistic. I think the most unrealistic thing about the show, including going to school in space, is the fact that Doyle would be able to pay his school tuition by working a part-time job. That's the most unrealistic thing of this show.
Well, it was the 80s where you could work a job and like put yourself through college and support a family of three and buy a house and a car, you know?
I'm just so unsure as to why Doyle was chosen.
Yeah, it's so strange because like you get it with Amy, like you were saying, like she's an overachiever. She's like baccalaureate. What is that word? Whatever. She's smart. But Doyle, his main thing is that he excels at American football, which is really only useful in one country on one planet in the entire galaxy.
And it's also like he's like the first line he has is to Amy is basically, don't talk to me, you'll ruin my chances with the aliens. Like, his first line is like, I want to screw the aliens, which is an interesting personality to send on a intergalactic mission, especially since they're the first two, like, Earthlings going to this school. An interesting choice. I don't really understand, but I think I have a theory as to why Doyle was able to go despite all of these weird things.
Do you think it's like an insemination thing?
Oh.
Like they wanted to like get some new genes in the gene pool and they were like, this kid'll fuck everybody.
No, but now that's never gonna leave my head.
Oh, this is the horniest show of all time, by the way. Go ahead.
I think it was episode two. So at one point, Beef, who's like the bully in the school, gets taken by these aliens called the Cholesterols, and he's deigned the high cholesterol, so the king. A great pun. But what the Cholesterols do to their king is eat them. So Beef is going to get eaten.
A twist which you can see coming, by the way, if you've ever seen any cartoon ever or any movie. Like, it's very obvious right away. Like, okay, they want to eat this guy. And they're all like, she's like such a big twist.
And so Amy's like, we got to do something. We got to save, like, Beef's going to get eaten. We have to do something. And Doyle's response is, let's send barbecue sauce, which is, what a savage. And earlier in the episode, he, like, swats a horsefly.
Right, that turns out to be a fellow student.
He does not care. He shows no remorse. Like, Doyle is obviously very used to, like, violence. So my theory is that Doyle's family is like a mafia. Like, they're involved in organized crime, something really high up with a lot of power.
Uh-huh.
So Doyle A is used to like violence and like just these wild, horrible things, like sending barbecue sauce to someone getting eaten and, you know, killing people. And when he realizes what he's done, he doesn't freak out. He's not like, oh God, like he doesn't worry about like cleaning up the mess. So I think his family is like a mafia family, like high up with a lot of power. And so Doyle got chosen because a family member pulled some strings, like some family member has dirt on the Secretary of Education or something, or holding the Secretary's children hostage. And so they either want to do this to like try to make the mafia like reach out into space and get powerful.
Right.
Or they just wanted to get rid of Doyle. But either way, mafia. That's my theory.
Doyle should be an Uber driver, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure he'd have a lot to say about, like, I don't know. I don't know serial killers. I don't have any other ones other than Jack the Ripper and John Wayne Gacy.
I guess Charles Manson. Yeah, Charles Manson. Ted Bundy.
Buffalo
Bonnie
Bill.
And Clyde.
I don't know.
Buffalo Bill, yeah. Boston Strangler, the U.S. government,
right.
I mean.
So, I don't know. Is this like an officially sanctioned exchange student program? It seems as though Doyle and Amy are probably abducted from Earth. Because like they take, it's so strange to me that Galaxy High takes two students from the same high school.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, Amy makes sense. Doyle doesn't really. And it's like, why wouldn't you get like two smart students or two students that had the same kind of prowess?
Or like from two different cultures, but like
you're saying, not two white American kids. That makes sense.
Yeah, but like throughout the show, it's clear that no one educates anyone on culture. Like when Amy and Doyle, whose last name is Cleverlobe, I feel like that needs to be mentioned. Like they just walk in, they have no cultural primer whatsoever. They have no idea what to expect. And then at another time, like Beef has no idea who the Cholesterols are. So like both like Earth education and space education are just woefully lacking in like cultural knowledge. Like this show is more willing to have like neon green characters before having black characters or something. And I just
yeah, it's a real issue in 80s animation.
Yeah.
This show, like we were saying a little bit ago, is very, very horny. I think that's important to establish early on. First episode is just all about like Doyle trying to fuck. And then realizing that none of the girls want to fuck him and that his only friend is the little nerdy guy. I don't remember what his name is.
Milo.
Milo, that's right.
It was wild. And like the characters, like there's one named Wendy who looks like a sexy Teletubby. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Is that the girl with the mouths, with all the mouths?
That one has great lipstick and I want to know her secret. I think the character's name is Wendy. I can try to find a photo for you.
I just feel like the creators of the show, their entire intention whenever they went to design an alien, and there's a lot of really fun alien designs in the show. I did genuinely laugh at the jokes where I was intended to laugh. I wasn't laughing at the cartoon for being bad. It's genuinely a really good show, and I think people would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like whoever designed all the aliens in the show made them all to be fuckable and like talked yeah. about how like they would fuck them. Like the one that has 12 mouths or whatever, the person that designed that was like really just obsessed with the practicality of that and what he would do with that alien.
Yeah. I sent you a picture of this, the one who looks like a sexy Teletubby to me.
Oh, I see. Okay. I've seen. Yeah, she's sort of the mean girl a little bit.
I'm so speaking on like the perverse nature of the show.
Yeah.
Like because they move through like pneumotubes, whatever the word is. You know, the thing that they travel with in every sci-fi show.
Right.
Like, first of all, Amy's wearing a skirt, so she obviously wasn't prepped for this. But like, how does anyone wear a skirt at this school? Because whoever's behind you is going to see everything. Also, there's a sign in the hallway at one point that just says, be careful, with no context.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
I think it's like a Harry Potter situation where like kids at Hogwarts obviously just always fall off of like the moving stairwells. And that's just yeah. sort of something you accept. Like if you go to Hogwarts, maybe you're going to die in class, out of class, while you're sleeping, anything. And here has got to be the same thing. Like if you get yeah. jettisoned into space, that's just tools. That's going to happen.
Yeah. I think there's like interesting ideas throughout the show, and I wish they had gone farther with it. Like at one point they're establishing the world, and like there's an alien with X-ray vision, which isn't as horny in the show as it sounds like it would be, but the teacher gives this kid lead glasses to keep the X-ray vision in check so the kid can't like read his textbook and cheat, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good gags here and a lot of like thinking about the way that these aliens would function in this world. It all feels like a sort of proto like Rick and Morty thing.
Yeah.
Like this would have been like Justin Roiland's favorite show growing up because every alien is just like this weird little gleep glopping alien that's like, oh, hi, I'm Cleep Morp the Schleemazorb and you can see me. I'm 2 feet tall and I'm 8 feet wide and I have soy sauce that comes out of me when I sweat. And it's like, oh, wow, you're an interesting character. Are we ever going to see you again? No. Not. Bye.
Wow, and I'm just so interested about this world because like when they're running through the classes, you see a class about making ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And you see a class like that's using alphabet blocks, and then there's a class with like someone on stage juggling and singing, and I'm very confused. I mean, the most like obviously like there's a disconnect because this is not the school that I'm used to. The closest thing is that the sentient chalkboard is called MacBoard, which pretty prophetic. But other than that, it was just. I have no idea what the priorities are in this world other than for students to have relations with each
other. It's all about fucking. I mean, and it's weird because everything seems to be based around American culture, sort of. Like, the kids don't really understand the culture here, but like, Doyle is sent off to work in a pizza parlor. He rides a hover scooter. She has a hover car. All the clothes are pretty American. And it's like, well, if they were really this alien to this world, everything would not be this way. One character that I think we really need to talk about before we get too far into this episode is the creep. Do you know what I'm talking about? The little guy that like sexually harasses Amy.
The serenading bee.
Right, exactly. But his name is the creep. So he's established in episode one, sort of towards the end. He basically shows up immediately, starts hitting on Amy, but like everybody at her table, she's like made some friends with the girls at the school and they're like, get the fuck out of here, creep. And Amy's like, no, I kind of like him. And then he's like singing to her, serenading her. And then he wraps a leash around her neck.
Yeah. He literally chains himself to her.
Yeah. And she doesn't seem all that uncomfortable with it. She's like, hey, what's the big idea? But she's not like, hey, get this fucking leash off me, dude. Like, what are you doing?
We're attached.
That's the idea.
Oh, come on. Unlock this thing.
No. If I were to do that, we wouldn't be together for 24 hours a day.
But I don't want to be together 24 hours a day.
I do. And only I know the combination.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Yeah, I'm so confused about that.
I'm very concerned for her.
Like, first of all, no one has, like, This bee is still running loose around the school, which, I mean, isn't unrealistic, I guess. And then her friends are like, this guy is creepy. And she ignores that and is just like, no, you're cute. And then he's like, you are mine now. And, like, just out of nowhere, this chain is just around her neck. And it's just, yikes.
And it's so bizarre because you kind of expect it to be like, oh, okay, this is a real issue and we'll never talk to this weird guy again. And then later on in the episode, you see her again and she's hanging out with the creep and he has his leash still around her.
I mean, I guess she doesn't have an option unless there are like wire cutters around.
Right. Well, and that does happen later. But then I watched a later on episode 7, and it's all about her, like, finding another guy that she's interested in. The creep is like, oh, but if she's not interested in me, then whatever, I'll move schools. I'm like,
yeah.
Why are they trying to empathize us to this little fucking weirdo that's trying to, like, chain her up in his basement? This is horrible.
Yeah, this guy is, like, definitely an incel now.
He's an Uber driver.
Yeah, he's an incel Uber driver. He's the right age for it now, I guess.
Yeah, I would say that most of my notes were about the creep. He's bad news. And I was very concerned for Amy's safety.
Me too. I was this entire show, I was just very concerned for Amy and a little bit for Doyle, but not really at all, cuz
yeah,
I don't really
fuck him.
Care. Like no offense, but he probably deserves, like, if his shitty, like, part-time job, like, good.
Yeah.
Understand what it's like.
It's 1986. He's a high school quarterback. He's probably homophobic. Let's just lay it out there.
Yeah, he's not a great person. Amy, however, like, she seems pretty open-minded. She's polite. She's smart. Mm-hmm.
She's got a really fun character design, too. And the voice actress, I didn't write down who it was, but does a really great job. If I could sound like that, just A+, 10 out of 10, voice goals.
I think my main note on Creepo is just the serenading bee, .. yikes. Yeah, I don't really, like, watching this as an adult, I'm like, oh, I see that. I see what they're doing. But A, this is a show for kids, and B, this is the 80s. So I don't think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just
the
80s, very uncomfortable.
every prank or hijink in an 80s teen film is usually sexual assault or harassment. Like, don't watch Porky's again. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
all I can think of is Back to the Future, and that's not the worst, but it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I mean, the dad in Back to the Future is like a sex pest. Like, he's hanging out outside of his mom's window
yeah.
with the binoculars, like looking inside and then pretending like he got hit by a car.
Yeah, I think the bar for 80s stuff is just so low that I'm like, you know what? I mean, you have a scene that's explicitly against rape, so you're better than other things. I just can't get over the scholarship thing. Even Doyle gets like federal like work study. I'm on the dean's list. Where's my money?
Right.
I'm gonna move to Mars. Honestly, I'm over it.
I mean, it's so, yeah, it is really funny. That's a great scene where like they basically show up to their first class and the teacher in the classroom is like, yeah, Amy, your way is totally paid because you're a great student. You're smart. You're going to do really well here. Here's a bunch of money. And also, we got you this hover car. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess. And then Doyle's like, hey, where's my stuff? Because, you know, classic white man entitlement.
Which we left behind in the 80s, of course.
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's not an issue whatsoever today.
Nope. And they give him a job at a pizza parlor, like an Italian-run pizza parlor with, like yeah. an Italian stereotype pizza guy. And it's like, okay, this is very Earth-centric, but whatever. And they give him a hover scooter, which is pretty funny.
They give him a Razor scooter. It's weird, because if I remember correctly, like, when Doyle first talks to a teacher, like, Amy talks to this teacher, and, you know, she's very polite. And then Doyle's first move is to, like, compliment the beauty of the teacher, which is like, come on, dude.
Yeah, he really sucks. Like, we're not, like, putting on any airs here. Doyle's a shithead.
Yeah. One of my notes says, Vore trash to save the planet, and I don't know what that refers to.
Oh, I know what that is. The dog. There's a little dog
a dog that eats garbage.
Yeah, they get sent down the trash compactor, and then he's the janitor at the school, and he gets really big and goes around and eats garbage.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, instead of sending two high school children into space, send this guy and have him, you know, eat some garbage, you know. We'll provide room and board and we'll save the world.
Well,
but thank you for solving that. I would just open my notes. And then immediately under that, like, nothing else is like, Milo is just Arnold from Mrs. Frizzle. So there's like, I had no idea what this note was about. And I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah, I wonder if this is like an officially sanctioned student exchange program, because in that case, wouldn't there be also aliens back at Earth?
Yeah.
And what is their life going to be like? Because human beings in the 1980s, especially in America in the midst of the Cold War, were not super tolerant of people that had slightly darker skin, let alone, you know, five arms.
Yeah, accessibility and open-mindedness is the hallmark of the 80s. You know, Ronald Reagan.
Those aliens come back to space a year later addicted to coke and, like, talking about, like, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah, they just come back and they have, like, a horrible drug addiction and they're like, you just gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I was gonna try to do a Reagan impression and decided against it.
They won't stop quoting, like, Terminator.
They're just addicted to coke and jelly beans.
Uh-huh.
Would not be surprised they bring like the crack epidemic into space.
Oh,
and that's
Jesus.
That's why there's no more space travel, and this ended in the 80s. The only theories I have for Doyle, other than being from like a crime boss family, is superhuman resilience, because in the first episode he gets tossed into like the French fry machine in the cafeteria.
Oh, I forgot.
And he's just
about
like a gray blob covered in fries. And Milo just runs him to a teacher and it's like, boop a boop. First of all, he survived that, essentially a meat grinder, but with potatoes.
Right.
And he just instantly comes back and is A-okay. So,
he just gets fucking glooped.
Yeah, just like superhuman resilience. Is that why he's here? Because I feel like that would have been mentioned, but like,
maybe he has like X-Men abilities or something like that.
Yeah.
It is a really funny moment, though, because Milo picks up Doyle's little, like, gloopy body covered in French fries, and he takes it over to his favorite teacher at the school, Professor Eisenstein. And Professor Eisenstein is like, oh, cool, you brought me some French fries. And Milo's like, this isn't French fries, this is a student. And the professor looks so disappointed that Milo didn't bring him food. He just has such a look of disappointment on his face to have to fix this kid's problem.
But, like, honestly, mood as well. Like, if you're going to ask someone to do a favor, you should bring them food?
Well, he can eat the French fries if he wants to, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's because, like, they're attached to the goop that is Doyle, that, like, if you pick a fry out, you've got, like, a little bit of him, and he might not come back with an arm or something.
Ugh, that's nasty. Just, like, a big chunk of him is, like, inside. Ugh, I don't like it.
Yeah. Food has a weird role in this show.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the only positive experience with food I had in relation to the show, other than the class about making ice cream, because that was pretty fun, was when they're at the pizza parlor, someone's like, I asked for extra cheese. And he brings the pizza back. And Milo, who also works at the pizza store, just loads it up with like 3 inches of extra cheese.
I liked the joke where he brings the family a pizza with sardines on it. And there are a couple fish aliens.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this is like a classic like Pixar style gag. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that in A Bug's Life, and it was like,
yeah,
or like BoJack Horseman or something like that. Like, that's a classic good gag.
And I was just like, I'm very confused about the school as well, because it's like a boarding school, but they never bring it up. And there's like a sign, you know how like schools will have like electronic signs outside, and they'll be like, welcome back. Teachers Appreciation Day is this day, or we have this day off or whatever. There's one like that in the school, but it just says beef, call your mother. I just have a lot of questions about that. Also, episode 2, like Doyle just gets roofied. So it's the high cholesterol one. I think they're...
Okay, I did watch that episode. Which part are you talking about?
I should have taken better notes. It's at the beginning of the episode. I think beef puts something in Doyle's food. And it's just like, he just gets roofied. What a great prank. And then throughout the episode, he has beef with beef. And then, I don't remember why, but I think, no, it's Doyle gets, like, thrown into the trash compactor again. And then he has extra clothes in his locker, which we should talk about the lockers at some point, because, wow.
Right. Every building and every item in this entire show is anthropomorphized. The lockers, the blackboards, they're like, we got to go to gym. And then gym is a giant building that walks around.
I'm waiting for like the class revolution that started by the lockers. I'm waiting for them to rise up in like a Marxist level.
It's so
kind
fucked
of
up.
Overhaul the system. Because like you just hold stuff inside them. But it's, and it's also weird because like, so Doyle's locker is like very angry and like hates their job, because obviously, and then like Doyle's just mean to the locker and also just starts changing his clothes in the middle of the hallway in front of all of these lockers and also other students. Like, he just changes his shirt and pants.
I think Doyle's locker even says something about like, I'm not anybody's slave. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. They just incited slavery in this fucking, like, if this locker is choosing to be mad at Doyle for having to do its job, then every item in this entire show is a slave. And they just have varying degrees of acceptance of that fact. Like, the gym doesn't want to be a gym. Too bad, you're going to be a fucking gym. Like, it's really
Vladimir
Lockin.
Vladimir Lockin. That's it. That's all I've got. Vladimir Lockin.
Yeah, we are waiting for the revolution for sure. So I had a note about the second episode, though, because I did watch that one, too. I think it's actually episode 3. It's just mistitled on YouTube. Yeah. So he's going to save beef at the Planet Cholesterol. He's hitchhiking because the bus doesn't come for another 3 months. So a trucker stops for him and he's like, hey, can you give me a ride to this Planet Cholesterol? And the trucker's like, you need a ride? You're going to have to earn it. Get in the back. And I'm like, oh no, what's about to happen? He was like milking chickens in the back. He was taking care of livestock. And when he gets out of the truck in the back, he's like, I never want to milk another chicken as long as I live. And I'm like, is this like coded language? What did he get? What just happened? This is really
not good.
Because
like they show like chicken-sized cows that are space chickens.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but the language is very coded and it's just very weird, because I guess but like Stranger Danger was like was becoming a thing in the 80s.
I think the writers of the show definitely meant to like make it like an adult joke, but like, what is the adult joke? That he got molested by a truck driver? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So funny.
This is not good.
Yeah. And then Cholesterol the Planet also is like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but worse. Like it's all edible food, like the river's barbecue sauce, I think.
Oh, right.
If you ate that much candy, I don't think anyone would be feeling super great. But it's things like potato chips and barbecue sauce, and I just, the idea of the smell of that
God.
Planet.
Well, it's so funny to me that every time you see the little cholesterol aliens, they're eating something. And that is a pretty good gag. Like, they're fun.
They made a lot of food puns. I was really excited about those.
But the fact that they're eating something every single time you see them, and their whole gimmick in the episode is that they're trying to find the worst person in the galaxy to make him their king so they can eat him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, literally, this guy is the lowest of the low. The worst piece of shit that we could find is this high school bully from Galaxy High. And like, the problem at the end of the episode comes for them when he does something nice and sacrifices himself to save Doyle. And they're like, no, we can't eat him. Gosh, darn it. Oh, man.
I feel like this is a convoluted, like, baby Hitler scenario. Like, I don't want to compare Beef to Hitler, because Beef is just this high school kid.
They're tracking down all the Jack the Rippers as babies and
all the Jack the Rippers. Like, Jack the Ripper was a child at one point, presumably. And was Jack the Ripper or whoever, like, do the cholesterol have, like, knowledge of the future? I'm confused, because in the known galaxy for us in 2019, there are definitely worse people around in the 80s. So I'm guessing the cholesterol have some kind of future, some forward vision, and they know that Beef is going to be awful, which also leads me to believe that, like, he becomes kinder through his interactions with Doyle and Amy, and maybe doesn't become so evil in that sacrificing himself for Doyle is the start of that, like, redemption arc.
No, because he's still an asshole at the end of the episode. He doesn't really learn anything, even though Doyle basically sacrificed himself and went to a planet to fight millions of little aliens by himself.
Because the lines between them is like, Beef, I can't believe you saved me. And then Beef just shoots back, everybody makes mistakes, which... you know, air horn noises and whatnot.
He's such a scummy character. I hate him. He's not endearing at all. Nobody could possibly like him.
The sass in this show is incredible.
Oh, it's off the hook.
Like maybe this, like, sacrificing himself for Doyle isn't what makes him a good person, but, like, it opens that alternative possible path
right.
of being not the worst. So we have Doyle, the child of a mafia, Beef, future conqueror and... horrible, well, conquering is horrible. Conqueror of space. Amy, this just smart girl who also, despite being bullied by Doyle, like, gets really mean to him really quick, which also, I guess, makes sense.
Yeah, all of the popularity really goes to her head. Like, she wasn't popular,
like, really
on Earth.
Really fast, though, too.
But then she gets to space and she's like, everybody wants to sleep with me. Everybody wants to be my friend. I'm hot shit. And it's like, yeah, you are. Like, good. Get some confidence, girl.
Which I don't think she's unjust in being mean to Doyle, because Doyle is an ass.
Yeah, he's constantly trying to pull pranks on her. Like, there's a moment in the episode where he, like, pretends like he's interested in her to make fun of her. Of like, why would I ever be interested in you, stupid? And it's like, oh, this guy sucks. Throw him in the trash.
Yeah. Also, the chewing noises in that episode made me want to, like... it's the same visceral reaction I have when I read about, like, Ronald Reagan. It's just
right.
I can't. No, stop, please. Which I guess is thematic to the show.
One thing we haven't talked about yet was that Amy goes on an alien makeover with all of her new friends in space.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that sequence. It was very fun. It was just, like, very, like, nostalgic 80s shit. But I really loved the sight gag of just, like, her friend that has all of the eyes. Or, like, I guess that it was, like, a background character. There was, like, an alien that had 30 eyes. And then somebody was applying mascara to each of them.
And the like, eyes were moving around the face, and that was incredible. But also, like, the technology they have in that scenario makes me wonder about the greater implications. Like, they can change their skin color?
Yeah, that's weird. Basically, Amy is appropriating...
Avatar culture.
Yeah, basically. She becomes blue. And then it's so weird because she paints herself blue, and then immediately when she goes back, Doyle wants to have sex with her even more. And it's like, Doyle just wants to fuck an alien so bad. Like, he's obsessed, and it's pathetic and desperate.
Yeah, this entire show is just, like, in the third episode, there's a planet called Tingler.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's...
Okay.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
Also, at some point in the episode, Beef gets, like, really mad and changes colors. Mm-hmm. Like, he turns... Like, he's red, and he goes blue because he's so angry. But I don't think he does that in episode two, which centers around him.
Right.
It was just a weird episode because like the planet Tingler. First of all, it's called Tingler. Second of all, there are like these trees that are kind of like the trees from The Lorax meets LSD.
Uh-huh.
And they just like are running around the planet. And there's something called Zoom Juice, which is used as like the equivalent of cars gasoline. But it's called Zoom Juice and comes in like a can.
Okay.
I'm just so curious about like class structure in this world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's like something that happens in the pizza parlor. I can't remember what it is. But the manager, Luigi, because this is a pizza place and this is a very intercultural show, is like, you need to bring a pizza to Tingler, which is this scary, scary planet that like just shrouded in mystery and rumors, because anything named Tingler is not a good thing. I'm sorry. It's just not. Doyle like doesn't want to go because it's terrifying. And his manager is like, you got to do it. But then everyone in the restaurant is like siding with the manager. And I get it. If they were like 50-year-old aliens with a poofy blonde haircut who were living in like the suburban arm of the Milky Way,
right,
I could get that. But it's like even the kids and like the other employees are like, yeah, management's right. And I was just like, oh boy. And then I remembered it's from the 80s.
Yeah, this whole show was written by boomers.
Yeah.
Episode 7 has a lot of that shit too. In episode 7 of the show, there's a guy that comes to their school. His name is Reggie, and he's rich. He's super rich. He's like one of the richest guys in the galaxy. And he's their age, and he falls for Amy and like tries to woo her basically with all of his money. And she falls for it very quickly. Like, at first she's like, this guy's a jerk. He's such a douchebag. And then just like very, very quickly is like, I like all the flowers he's getting me and the orchestra he hired to follow me around. And I like all of his money and his gold. And it's like, wow, you kind of suck. But whatever. Like, that's her prerogative, right? She can fall for the rich guy
She's a child, too, you know.
Yeah. And then everybody in the show treats her like such shit for not even before she ever accepts any of this. They're like mad at Amy. Like, she decides to go on a date with this guy, and Doyle and Bulbhead come over to her apartment to get help with their homework. And they're like, hey, Amy, you need to take your entire night and help us with our homework. And she's like, oh, sorry, guys, I got a date. And then they get, like, pissy with her. And they
How
get really
mad. How
dare
you have a life outside of my needs?
Yeah, they don't even like her, really. Like, Doyle is such an asshole. And they treat her like such shit. And then everybody in the school gets really mad because she's like...
has a life.
Yeah. And they all like go to give her an intervention about getting a boyfriend. And it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, this guy's a player. He's got a lot of money. He falls for somebody every other day. But like, let her figure that out. You know, like, tell her what she needs to know. Give her all the needed information. And then leave her the fuck alone. Because if she wants to date this guy, let her do it.
Yeah. I'm just so... At the point, I just get kind of sick of, like, the high school drama, and I'm just waiting for that locker revolution.
Yeah.
Cubby holes, rise up!
Imagine, like, the gym building coming along and just smashing everybody, just laying on top of
them. Yeah, that was wild. The gym is, like, the sentient being, but it's a robot. And, like, I'm pretty sure gym doesn't work like that.
Oh, your gym didn't get up and walk around and talk to you and stuff?
I didn't have PE at my high school. But I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. And like the gym, the sports center on my current campus, as far as I know, doesn't move. It's been in the same spot. But maybe, I mean, where's my tuition money going if it's not going to make the gym sentient, you know?
I mean, just get the scholarship to space, honestly, you know?
Yeah. I feel like that's more realistic than like getting anything that the school needs. Yeah.
The show rocks. It's fun. It's really funny. There's some weird gender and sexual dynamics going on here.
Yeah. Like,
the entire episode where Richie Rich comes along and starts hitting on Amy the whole time and trying to woo her away.
Mm-hmm.
The entire premise of the episode is that she should not be with this guy. She should be talking to Creep, and Creep is going to leave school and cry. And like, Creep is like a nice guy that's always so nice to her and pays attention to her. And I'm like, no, get the fuck away from this guy. Like,
you know what? Yeah. Go to a different school.
Yeah.
Leave, please. I was just so worried for Amy's safety, honestly. I can't believe that there are so many aliens and all of these species have this weird culture of binary gender. Like,
right. There's no trans aliens in the show.
How unimaginative did the creators of this show
right.
have to be? Like,
Lloyd in Space on Disney Channel did that. In the early 2000s, there was an episode where like a character that wasn't gendered came to school and all the other students were like, are you a boy or are you a girl? And they were like, I get to choose when I turn 13 if I'm going to be a boy or a girl. And everybody's like, be a boy, be a boy, be a girl, be a girl. And then at the end of the episode, they decide like, yeah, I made my choice, but I'm not going to tell you guys what I chose.
When Disney Channel is more daring than the art you're creating, I feel like you have to question something. Not to, like, disparage everything that's ever been made, but to disparage Disney specifically.
I think Disney Channel also made Braceface, which had an episode in the early 2000s. No, it aired on Fox, I guess. Braceface had an episode that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, where basically the main girl is trying to set up her gay friend with another gay guy that she met. And the entire episode, mm-hmm. she's trying to like sneakily like set up these two gay guys because they're gay, so obviously they would love each other.
Oh, of course.
And then the moral of the episode at the end is like, hey, fuck you, straight people. Stop trying to set up your gay friends with each other just because they're gay. And I was like, this is metal. This is really good for like 2002 or whatever.
The early 2000s in terms of media, I cannot get a hold or understanding of because most of it is so bad. But then there are things like that.
Well, those are the standouts, you know?
Yeah, the exceptions that prove the rule, I suppose, is the saying, as the saying goes, which is a saying that doesn't make any sense, but yeah. Neither does having a bazillion different aliens all belong to a binary concept of gender.
As far as we know, we didn't watch every episode. Maybe there's an episode, a very special episode about trans issues in the middle of Galaxy High.
In the middle of 1986. I'll probably end up watching the rest of the show because, you know, I have final exams in a few months, so I'm going to need something to do to put off studying. But I'll like, watch all of them and get back to you, and if there's anything that, like, stands out.
Yeah, I mean, Galaxy High is just so much fun, and it's all on YouTube, all 13 episodes. I definitely recommend people go check that out.
So IMDb just says 1986-nothing, so you never know, it might come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was supposed to be a movie. They got an option in the 90s for a movie, and never happened.
Wow.
Addison, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the podcast.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was out of this world.
Great.
Canceled. Everything.
Thanks.
Just...
Yeah, the podcast is canceled because of that. I'll put it on the cover art. I'll put, quote, out of this world, 10 out of 10. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Paper Jam Session. You can find me on YouTube and Medium under Addison Antonoff.
Great. And I am on Twitter at StopTweetingMia. You guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Rate and review the podcast. If you haven't done that already, it really does help. As always, I'm your host, Mia Marchant, and I'm here if you need to talk.
Oh, I'm the creep from the planet Sarabik. Your heart belongs to me. At night when you're asleep, into your spaceship I will creep.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.